a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO. 57 degrees. The Nathan Brewer dew point is way up there. It's eight. That's what it said.
Get out.
It's eight. Humidity's at 14%. So there's some more peanut harvest and cotton stripping going on right now, I guarantee you. Anyway, the wind is a little breezy. North-northwest, 26 miles an hour, with gusts up to 33 miles an hour. I have a special guest in the studio.
I don't know how special.
He's special. He last-minute guest. Mm-hmm. But anyway, before we get to Nathan, thank you very much to all the people in Elk City, Sayre, our whole listening area. I don't have a list of all the people that did some do good for veterans yesterday, but the barbershop here in Elk City, Cole, Warren, and Kyle gave free haircuts out to veterans. Prairie Fire, half off food yesterday.
For vets?
Yeah, and my wife was mad because I didn't go eat.
Why? Yeah, Jimmy, come on. Why didn't you go eat?
I wasn't hungry.
Oh, well, that's a problem
So anyway, what's up your sleeve, senor?
Well, I mean, I listen to your show frequently and have for, what's it been, 5 months now? Wasn't it June?
We're in month five right now.
June, July, August, September, October. Yeah, about 5 months.
Yeah.
And so I thought, once in a while, I like to turn the tables. And I like to interview the interviewer. Yeah. I mean, you're the interviewer on this show.
Well, I'm a conservationer.
Have you? I bet you haven't. Have you counted up how many guests you've had?
No, I got a list, and I just never have counted.
You really do?
Yeah, I do have a list.
You've kept a list?
I have kept a list.
Man, I bet it's...
It's
a bunch.
I think I figured it up a couple weeks ago. I had a couple weeks that were kind of dead. No special guests. Mm-hmm. Lacey let me down a few weeks in a row, but I think I was averaging two a week. That's what the average was. Some weeks better. I've had four this week. Well, if you're five,
No, I don't count. Believe me, I don't count.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's a lot of guests, and it's a lot of work getting them, too.
See, that's what, if you've never done this, you don't know, but getting people to come talk to you is not as easy as it may seem. I mean, people will talk to you, Jimmy Clark, off air.
Right.
They'll come up and tell you everything on their mind.
Oh, yeah.
But if you say, hey, why don't you come talk to me on the radio, that's when people turn different colors.
And I don't know why. I mean, everybody's got the perfect radio face.
I know. And it's not like you can see anybody who's listening.
Right.
And for all we know, I've got one person listening to me right now, and it's you.
Yeah.
For all I know.
Yep.
So it's easiest thing in the world, just talking. It's just folks talking, having a good conversation.
Hey, if you have a question for Nathan, why we're talking ag today on the Today in Ag show, Nathan Brewer. He's the one that I mentioned. He's my famous dew point guy.
Yeah.
Anyway, the tech KCO Ag Text line is wide open.
Well, have them explain the dew point.
Yeah.
If you can explain the dew point, I've heard 30 explanations and I still don't understand it. Explain the dew point to me at 580-225-9697. You said the dew point is 8?
Yeah, that's what it says.
So that means, what does that mean?
It means that there's no humidity in the air out there.
Which is good for?
Farming, if you're harvesting, no matter what you're harvesting, mm-hmm. if you're harvesting cotton, peanuts, wheat, the lower the humidity, the lower the moisture, lower the dew point, lower the humidity, the lower the dew point, or lower the moisture, sorry, is in your plants. Like wheat, mm-hmm. you know, they test for moisture every time you take a truckload in. Peanuts, same way. And when you're thrashing, you can tell when you start getting humidity in those vines and leaves,
mm-hmm.
the old machine starts grunting a little bit.
Everything's harder. The more moisture there is.
You have to slow down, and these guys nowadays do not like to slow down.
Or when they're testing for moisture,
mm-hmm.
why?
Because it causes mold, stuff like that, if it's too wet. There's all kinds of explanations to that, but I just know, like, on wheat, you want your moisture to be below like 13, 14%,
mm-hmm.
somewhere in that neighborhood. and that means the grain is dry. It'll store.
Mm.
So when you're storing stuff, you don't want moisture. Like baling hay. I mean, you want moisture. You want your humidity to be up there around 65, 70% when you're baling hay. So the leaves and everything stick together.
You want it to stick.
You want it to stick together. But if you get too much moisture, it starts to get hot inside that 1,500-pound bale of alfalfa or whatever. Yeah. And then it starts molding and it starts heating. And it can heat up so much that it'll catch fire.
Okay, that's interesting you mention that, because when I was in high school, one of my high school science teachers said that very thing. He talked about how if you put up hay in a barn, if it's moist at all, it gets so hot in the summertime in those barns that spontaneous combustion can occur.
Now, the listener just texts in for your first response. He says low humidity, low dew point is good for fires.
Well, yeah, there is that. And isn't it interesting? Isn't it interesting what moisture in the air does to the temperatures?
Yeah.
It was last night or the night before, I'm watching the news, Channel 9, Lacey's boss, David Payne.
Yeah.
And he was talking about, and it was, you know, 5 or 6
the guy
o'clock.
The checkered suits.
Yeah, those window pane suits. He loves them. He can't find any others. He can't find anything solid or no pinstripe. He's all window pane. But he mentioned this, and it's 5 or 6 o'clock, and so the sun's going down. And he mentioned that because there was such low humidity, he said temperatures are dropping like a rock. We're already down to 44 degrees after a high of whatever because the air was so dry. The temperature was dropping.
Right.
And that plays a big role in ag life every day. So you
every
want
day.
Higher humidity when you bale the hay, yeah, so it sticks together.
Lower humidity to do everything
else. To do everything else. You want it to be low.
Well, fires, that's what, when we get these big prairie fires around here,
yeah,
the humidity is usually really low. There's no low dew point, and we get wind and a match. So it's like today. Today's perfect. Is a perfect day.
Yeah.
So that's one. Every time that we are like we are now, I always ask our listeners out there, don't go welding out in your pasture today. Save it for another day.
Golly, I remember back in March of 2012 in Wheeler County. I mean, they had some awful, because that was during the drought anyway.
Yeah.
In March of 2012, Wheeler County had these awful grass fires, prairie fires.
Yeah, and some guys lost their lives in that thing, too, if I remember right.
It was awful. I mean, folks over there were calling us and asking us to do some announcements on air about what to do and not to do and things that were going on. And they had been plagued with it. And then just, what was it, a couple of years ago, way up around Woodward?
Laverne, Woodward, Buffalo, I mean... It was big. There was 3 different big fires going on in the Panhandle of Texas, Oklahoma, Kansas, around Buffalo, because we hauled hay up there.
Okay, Sean Wilson just texted me on the Nathan Brewer text line. And I was actually thinking this, and I wondered about why they test for moisture. Let me read you what Sean said. The main reason they test for moisture is because of the weight. The wetter the grain, the more it weighs, and you get paid on weight. I wondered about that. If they're paying for weight, moisture would be artificial weight, wouldn't it?
It would be, but wheat, a bushel of wheat weighs 60 pounds, 62 pounds somewhere. Mm-hmm. I don't have the exact figure in my head. So if you start getting wheat that weighs up to 65, 70 pounds, I mean, and the moisture's high, you're probably going to get docked. But it's the same if it's too light, you know, usually light wheat, if your wheat small kernels and stuff like that, it's just not really a good wheat crop.
Yeah.
And it'll weigh 57, 58 pounds per bushel.
Do we have time to get into these questions I have for you?
I guess so.
Or is it, or you need to take a break?
No, we're good. We got a few minutes.
All right. You've done the show for 5 months. I mean, and you've been in agriculture for years and years and years, but you've done the show for 5 months. And I'm wondering, with all the people you've interviewed and you've had to get information and do this, that, and the other, is there any, I'm sure you've learned several things. Is there anything that really stands out? Any fact or something?
The guy, the gentleman that was on here, I think it was David Knowles. I think that was a name from the Oklahoma Peanut Council.
Yeah?
He was on here. I didn't know about how the name diesel came about. And I didn't know that back in the early days, like World War One, in that time frame, that the submarines were running on peanut fuel.
I didn't either.
Yeah. And but when we got into World War II, there was just too much demand for the fuel, and they'd come out with the diesel engine. But the guy that invented the peanut fuel, his last name was Diesel, so they named the diesel fuel after him.
So they named it after him, huh?
And I know there was a lot of people out there that knew about this, but I didn't.
All right, the show is called Today in Agriculture with Jimmy Clark on KECO. So it's, I mean, it's your show, and I'm guessing you're the voice of the show, the face of the show. I'm guessing people come up to you a lot and talk to you about it?
Yeah, somewhat, some good, some bad.
What I was going to ask you, what do they say?
There's a lot of response I get. A lady that I just ran into in Atwoods a couple weeks ago, she's a truck driver for one of the vac companies around here, and she come up to me. I was passing her in the aisle, and being the gentleman that I am, I said, "Hey, how are you today?" You know, just being friendly. She said, "Good." And she flipped around. She said, "Are you Jimmy Clark on Today in Ag?" And I said, "Hey, the last time I did that wasn't good." But I said, "Yes." She said, "I know that voice anywhere." She said, "I listen to you all the time." So that makes
sense. So you get recognized by your voice.
Yeah, by my voice, not my good looks.
Yeah, that's the nice thing about radio. It provides enough anonymity. They usually don't know you by your face.
Right.
But once you start talking, that's when they can recognize you.
Yep.
So people do come up to you and usually have nice things to say.
Yeah, most of the time. They're, you know, the guys at the coffee shop give me crap.
Well, yeah, but that's, you expect that.
But I give it right back. And then I also warn them. I said, I do have the power of radio on my side.
Beware the man with the microphone.
That's right.
Do you get any, like, show tips? Any, yeah, you ought to talk about, you ought to say this, you ought to get this person.
No, I do. I get that a lot. My number one request was Bert Hudson.
Yeah.
So he was on a week ago last Monday.
And then you made good on it. Yeah, finally got Bert to come on, huh?
Yeah. That was actually the number one request on the KECO Ag text line.
By the way, I'm not going to name any names, but I was talking to a gentleman early this week. And we were talking about beef, local beef. And he said, he named one of the guests you've had on this show. I won't name him, and I won't name the person I was talking to, but he said that guy, he buys his beef, and he says best he's ever eaten, best he's ever had. So the localer, the more local, the fresher, the better it is. So he had great things to say about one of your guests' beef.
Yeah, there's a lot of, we got a, we have a lot of people in our area, our listening area, Eastern Texas Panhandle, and our eight counties that we cover. They raise some good beef. There's no doubt about it. I push it, you know, buy local, process. We got numerous processing plants now, which has been because of COVID, and it's been a good thing to have more processing plants.
All right, if I've got my timeline right about you, Jimmy Clark, you from this area, moved away for a while, came back in 2010. Is that right? 2010? Is that when you moved back?
Yes. 2008.
Oh, 2008. Okay. Was it 2010 when you bought the land?
Yes.
Ish, right in there. Okay. So since you did that, because you've been in the oil field, that was your regular day job.
Yeah.
But once you bought the land, you eventually got into both farming and ranching, right?
Right.
Okay. Since you did that, that's a lot of responsibility. It's a lot of work, a lot of risk. At any point since then, have you thought to yourself, at any point have you thought, man, maybe I've bitten off more than I could chew?
No, but my wife said that. No, it's when the first boom went kaboom back in the early 80s,
yeah.
I went to work at for Dub Pitzer over at Foss. Mm-hmm. Just have something to do. They was high-dollar guys. Company man back in the early 80s took jobs as truck drivers. That's how bad it got when the banks went and they crashed, and I went to work for them. And I could have got back in the oil field earlier. Man, I love that. I mean, like I said, I always said putting up alfalfa is my favorite. I just love the smell of alfalfa. And yes, it's worse than oil field hours, alfalfa is. But the cattle, you know, I have names for my cows. And I know each one of them's bad habits.
Yeah.
I know which one not to get in front of. The whole nine yards. No, not at any time.
All right. And maybe you just answered it. In agriculture, what is, for you, what is the absolute best thing about farming and ranching?
The people, the farmers and the ranchers. Just like yesterday, the guy texted me. He didn't have to fix my water leak. down there west of Willow, 6 miles down there in the Rattlesnake and Tarantula areas. And he just shoots me a text right before the show started. Hey, you have a pond out here in your ground. You know, it's a pretty bad leak. I got her fixed, though.
So he let you know that you had the problem and he'd fix the problem?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
How cool is that?
It doesn't get any cooler than that.
No, it doesn't.
We got another question.
Yeah?
Are you ever going to take live calls from listeners?
No, I can answer that. Yeah. I know the answer. I know Jimmy Clark's answer, and it's no, an emphatic no. He will not, which is probably, it may be a really good policy, too.
And here's one of my special guests that has been on a couple, two or three times since I started the show. He said, I enjoy my times on Today in Ag.
Good.
Lieutenant James.
Oh, Lieutenant James. Hey, coming on the radio is a pleasure, right? You get to just talk about whatever, just have a good conversation with folks and let people know what's going on. That's really all
and
it is.
And ever since he started coming on Today in Ag with me, his, what is it, not attitude, but, you know, his...
demeanor?
Demeanor. You know, now he's not very dry.
You mean like a bottle of water without the water?
Water, yeah.
Yeah, I heard you say that. I nearly fell over when you said that. I thought, that's good.
Yeah, Lacey even thought it was funny.
It was good. Well, listen, I'll let you get on with the rest of your life and the rest of your show. Before I do, though, I want to mention today and tomorrow, big event, Grandview Pharmacy and Gifts in Elk City. It's our Christmas open house. They do it every year. It's so big this year, they're doing it 2 days, and you might win a TV. If you go by 1220 West 3rd in Elk City, between Subway and Sherwin-Williams, Christmas open house today and tomorrow. Just fill out the piece of paper, and you could win a large flat screen TV or one of those big charcuterie gift baskets that they do. And if you shop, buy beautiful stuff for Christmas, you go check out, you're going to draw a card, 2, 3, or 4. And you get a 20, 30, or 40% discount.
Is that where you shop for your wife for Christmas?
I have been known to buy many gifts there. Many, many gifts there. Yes, I have. And they do free gift wrapping, too.
We need to bring your wife on the show one day.
She knows about it. She was raised on a farm, so she knows about some agriculture.
We need to bring her on.
Well, I can't get her. You could. She likes you. She likes your show. She's probably listening right now because she really likes your show. I think she listens to you more than she does me.
Well, sorry.
I'm used to it.
Oh, one more hotline. This is from way big area code. Before Jimmy's show, I never really made a point to listen to the radio. Now I tune in every day.
Well,
thank you. That's sweet.
Hey, my wife just texted me. I am. She is listening right now. I knew it.
Hey, call into the front desk and set up an appointment. We'll get you loaded up. Get you on the show.
Some of that Yale, Oklahoma farming information.
And I'm going to brag on Nathan right now. Nathan, he doesn't like me to do this, but I'm going to. On air, God is my witness. Nathan has been helped me out. Him and Drew have helped me out so much. I'm telling you, I'm not professional, and you guys don't know how many buttons there is to push in this radio station.
That's all radio is, pushing buttons and looking at a clock. That's it.
Yeah, I've been sitting there looking at the clock, and I'm sure that cotton farmer that was going to be on the show is like, hey, I thought he was going to call. But anyway, thank you very much for being a big help for me.
Proud to do it. You're doing great, enjoying the show. I enjoy the show, and I know a lot of people do because they tell me. Including my wife.
Here we go. One more before you go. So a friend of mine says...
It's a tough thing about getting these live texts. You got to read through them
before
you say it on air.
Yeah, this one was a long one, so I read. So a friend of mine says you were talking about the so-called peanut butter and jelly grilled sandwich. Do tell how it's made, please. And is there other stuff on it besides peanut butter and jelly? Yes, there's bread.
Didn't he say also butter the outside of the bread?
Yeah, I was getting to that. You butter the outside of the bread, put it on the grill, and they were doing it on barbecue grills.
Yeah.
This is a real show here. I'm going to try it this weekend. My wife left today.
On the grill, or are you going to do it in a skillet?
They were doing it both ways. But
how are you going to do it?
I'm going to do it on the grill.
Well, you're big time.
Yeah, I'm going to do it on the grill.
I better be good in a skillet, too.
Right next to that beef steak.
Mm.
Yeah, but I'm going to do it.
All right, Jimmy's cooking supper.
Yeah, I'm cooking supper, peanut butter and jelly grilled sandwiches. And my favorite is wild plum jelly, but it's going to have to, ain't no wild plums.
You gave it away, didn't you?
I did. I'm too nice.
That's why they love you, Jimmy.
All right. Well, thanks for coming on, Nathan.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
All right. Well, we'll be right back after this. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy and Nathan on KEC 96.5 KECO.
Great news, folks. Ron Hayes here to let you know SEI Agritech in Elk City is now your livestock nutrition center dealer. This is better quality feed and minerals for your cattle, horses, sheep, and goats. Plus, at SEI Agritech, you can buy everything from bulk to 50-pound bags. Call or go see SEI Agritech today about your feed and mineral needs. Their number, 580-225-0317. 580-225-0317. Better feed, better results.
Docility is probably the biggest selling point for Red Angus. Red Angus cattle are just more docile as a breed, just bred into them. It's been that way for years, since the inception of the breed. My two kids, and not just the kids, the older generation, they don't want to mess with bulls that are not gentle. Red Angus are more gentle to handle. We raise registered Red Angus, Benji White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com on Facebook. Follow us at B&L Red Angus.
Are you in the market to buy or sell cattle? Then don't miss Hobart Stockyard's weekly cattle sale in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale's every Wednesday at 9:30 a.m., buyers can bid in person or online. To consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. That's 580-331-8547. Be sure and check out the market reports and each week's penny news. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Hey, welcome back. 57 degrees. The wind is actually picked up just a little bit. The dew point's at 10 now. It's not 8 anymore, if anybody really wants to know besides Nathan. The wind's out of the northwest at 26, gusting to 34. And I prank called a cotton farmer. And he's in the field right now harvesting his cotton. And Mr. Dameron, Jake Dameron of Delhi, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
You sent that picture of that cotton, and we have a calendar in here with the from the Plainsman Cotton Company in here, and there's some really good cotton in that picture. Yours looks better.
Well, that's what I like to hear there.
Yeah. Welcome to the show.
I'm glad to be here.
Well, thanks for listening, and thanks for being on today. Tell our listeners what you got going on right now.
Well, I'm just out here following some cotton rows. I like about 10 minutes on this field here, and I had to shut it down to wait till you got done talking there, but I'm
Nathan,
going now.
Nathan, that's his name, Nathan Brewer.
Yeah, Nathan, took too much time.
Yeah, I know, and I'm sorry, but, you know, this is a radio show, and I fly by the seat of my pants most of the time, so welcome to my world.
Yes, sir.
What you have the? Help me out here. I'm not a row crop guy. Are you running a stripper or a picker? What's the difference?
I'm running a stripper, a CS690.
And that's the big John Deere round baler, cotton baler, right?
Yes, sir.
So, will you tell everybody out here what the difference is between a picker and a stripper?
Yes, sir. A stripper has a bats and brushes up in the front, and they pull the burr and the bowls and everything off. And then there's a burr extractor right behind the calf, and it knocks out the burrs, and then it puts the lint in the in my baler back there. And on a picker, they just have things that are called a spindle, and they run up and down, and they just pull the cotton out of there, and they don't take any of the burrs or anything. They don't have a burr extractor. They just pick it right off, and it goes right into the basket, right into the bale.
So you say they you have a burr extractor on yours. Is that the big tube I see on the right-hand side of the or left-hand side if you're looking at it? What's that big black tube that's up in there? Is that what's blowing lint up into the baler, or is that the burr extractor?
Well, like on a picker, there's black tubes that come right out of each unit,
yep.
Right into the that's the air tube. Okay. On a picker.
Okay.
Now on a stripper, I don't have that. It goes to the center, it goes up right underneath the cab, right into the burr extractor, and then it separates it and it shoots it into the basket.
I got
you. You know, a picker and a cotton stripper, they're all ran on air. You know, 100% airflow, a lot of air to run these machines.
So you got autopilot on that?
Yes, sir. And I'm sitting here talking to you on the phone, and I about messed up because I got a bale needed kicked out. My accumulator's full, so now I'm backing up, but I'm going.
I heard the beep. So.
Oh, yeah. Lots of beeps going on out here, but now, no,
see,
it's tough.
See, if your sister had been here, that wouldn't have happened.
Yeah, that's right. She's a good operator. Yes, my sister, she runs this thing. I was looking at it before you called me there. We've got about 250 hours on it so far this season, and she's probably put close to 150 on there. So she runs it a lot. And then my girlfriend, she's our stacking lady. She's right out here next to me. She stacked all the round bales for us. So basically, I got the woman crew out here.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that. There's a all-woman peanut harvest crew and digging crew down there south of Carter on the south side of the river that I know they contract out all the time to Mr. Gary Ripito.
That's right.
So
now they take very good care of things.
Oh, well, yeah, because when they first come out with them, and I was looking at some of them big cotton fields there around Willow and some down in there around Blair and Altus, I was looking at all the cotton that was left in the field, and I was just thinking, my grandpa would have a heart attack if he seen all that cotton sitting there on those stock steel. So is the stripper, is it picking the really good stuff? Is your grade higher? What's the purpose in having the different two?
Sometimes the picker will have better grades, 2 or 3 cents higher. Sometimes, you know, like a cotton picker will have between 55 and 58 loan cotton, and sometimes the stripper's around 50 to 57 on really good strip cotton. But, yeah, the picker will leave a lot more out there. You know, it looks really bad, but a lot of that you're seeing the burr. And then on the stripper, you know, it's clean. You know, there's no burrs or anything on it. So it looks a lot better, but sometimes the picker, you know, will pay better to do it. And where y'all were talking about the humidity earlier, that's another perk about a picker. When the humidity is up over 50, a lot of times I shut down. Well, the pickers, they can run a lot later than I can because they're not picking all the trash and everything with it.
That's got all the vegetation and stuff that's got the moisture in it.
That's right.
Well, you've already you've only been on the show 5 minutes and you already got a text. Are you ready?
I guess.
Ask Mr. Dameron how the cotton stalks are doing on them tires.
Well, they're actually not too bad, but I've had to fix a lot of flats over the years. That's one thing that, being a cotton farmer, you just got to deal with flats.
Yeah, and its nickname is the Tire Man. This text come from, so it's our gentleman down there at Blair.
Now he knows for sure. Then, because he's come up here before and fixed. We had all four of our tires on one tractor one time. Next morning was all flat. He got to come up here and fix them all for us.
Oh, you just can't plug them?
Yeah, I know. He actually come up here and he took the time to fix them all and put tubes on it. So he remembers that well.
Oh, I bet so. Yeah, he fixed a pivot tire for me down there at Granite on our pivot down there on that alfalfa. And he's a jam-up guy. He gets her done.
Yes, sir. We'd be lost without him.
What's your alarms going off for now? Do you mess up again?
Well, I actually had a stop. That's another thing that a picker is good versus over a stripper is. So a stripper, you know, they're pulling the stalks like upward to get the cotton off. Well, I just pulled a stalk up out of the ground, so I stopped and I reversed it. And a lot of times that works, but then every once in a while you still got to get out and pull it out by hand.
Right. Yeah, I think I was talking to Rod Carver one day, and he was over there harvesting the cotton in the field over there by their barn, and he was cussing those stalks that were way out there by themselves into the mud holes. And they was, you know,
oh, yeah.
He wasn't having very much fun with that. So I understand he did.
I had a field over at Texola, same thing, mud hole. I finally just stripped the top half of it, and I said, the heck with the bottom half, because every time I put the row units down, you just pull the stock right up out of the ground.
Well, a couple more little questions that I'm curious about. Those bales, you got, they are 10 bales, is that right? 10 bales of cotton, 5,000 pounds or 4,800 pounds?
Like in this one round bale?
Yeah.
Is that what you're asking?
Yeah, how many bales of cotton, which is 480 pounds, are in one of those big round bales? There we go. I got her out right that time.
Yeah, it all depends. Like, I've been averaging about 3 bales for each round bale this season so far. But the longer you go, the drier the cotton gets, so then the less you have in it. So I try to average around 2/8 to 3 bales to keep the cost cheaper on our wrap, because the wrap is pretty expensive.
How much does it cost to wrap one of those bales, if you don't mind me asking?
$32.
$32, and how many times around is that?
I don't know. How many actual wraps do they put on it?
Yeah, how many wraps on each bale?
I think there's probably, I don't know, because see, it's different than a hay baler. I think there's probably like 3 or 4.
Right.
Because it don't cut it, it's sticky. So like when it pulls it apart, it just pulls it apart. And it sticks it right next to it.
Oh, I got you.
It's all pre-cut. It don't have knives on it like a hay baler.
Oh, well, that's probably a good thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's probably a good thing. There's another gentleman texting on the lines that you need to run tracks. So
that might help.
They probably got some down there in Mississippi and Georgia, where down in that swamp land.
Yeah, you would think so.
Yeah, they. I had that gentleman on from Georgia here a while back, and he said John Deere just revealed a new cotton stripper down there at that Southeast Ag, the Sun Expo down in Georgia. They just revealed it out there about 2 or 3 weeks ago. I haven't seen any pictures of it, so I don't know what it is. You might have heard about it, but anyway, they're coming out with something new every day.
Every day, and it just keeps getting more expensive. Yeah, they have like a, CS770s, and they're pushing, like I'm pushing a 6-row 40, which is 20 foot, and there's some of these new ones that's got 12-row 40, so that's a 40-foot cotton header. That's a big one.
That's a big boy. You can get.
Wouldn't be very good in all my parishes.
No, probably not, but anyway. All right, let's see, what was my other question I was thinking about asking you? You answered my question, $32 to wrap one, 3-4 wraps, and they've come out with a lot of cool stuff to haul these bales off now. The first year, I remember those balers being out, the cotton balers being out, there was all kinds of people out there with all kinds of contraptions trying to haul bales of cotton, but it's come a long ways in the last 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, it sure has. They usually just show up with a loader, drop it off, and then they'll bring however many semis to load it up. Usually pretty gone. Usually it's gone, you know, when they show up. Then that same day, they'll have it loaded.
So how's the grade and everything doing on your cotton so far? Pretty good?
Yes, sir. Yeah, the average has been good, and the grades have been excellent, and the price has been the best.
You heard me say that earlier. No, you haven't. I ain't even said it yet. But it's $1.19 yesterday. Today it's $1.17. And
we'll take it.
So do most of you, most of the cotton farmers, is it contracted, or they just wait until they get it graded and everything, and then you come to agreement on how much you're getting?
Yes. Well, like for instance, like me, if I got good graded cotton, I don't have it contracted. They'll just put it up on the board. And sometimes it's like, 300 or 400 points under the board if it's lower grade. If it's higher grade, you might get up there. So like today, if you got good 57-cent loan cotton, You know, you could probably sell it today for, you know, that $1.17, you know, $1.16, pretty close up there.
Oh, good. Yeah, you guys, man, I'm happy for all the cotton farmers right now. As for the way these prices have gone up in the last, what is it? They started coming up, what, 2 months ago, 3 months ago? It was like 75, 76, and now look at it now. And Well, I'm going to let you finish up, and thank you so much for coming on and doing live cotton farming right on the spot on Today in Ag.
Thank you, sir.
Well, Jake Dameron, thanks a lot for taking time out, and good luck finishing that field out, and you have a great day.
All right, sir. You too.
See ya. Well, it's in November's crop report. The USDA projected the 2021-22 U.S. cotton crop to reach 18.2 million bales, up 200,000 bales from the October report. The U.S. mail use and exports were unchanged from October at 2.50 and 15.50 million bales, respectively. Dr. Judy Kampisch, Vice President of Economics and Policy Analysis for the National Cotton Council, joins me with some more details.
In the latest USDA report, the U.S. production estimate was increased by 200,000 bales to 18.2 million. As of November 8, 55% of the U.S. crop had been harvested. U.S. mill use and exports were unchanged from the October report. For the 2021 marketing year, we currently have 9.1 million bales in sales commitments. This is 59% of the projected USDA estimate for total 2021 shipments. Although current sales and shipments are behind last year due to lower U.S. stocks, they are close to the five-year average for week 13 of the marketing year. However, shipments will need to pick up in order to reach the USDA estimate of 15.5 million bales for the 2021 crop year. Last week's export sales report showed lower sales than the previous few weeks, again mostly due to lack of supply and then fewer purchases from China. Prices were trading over 108 cents per pound for the 5 days covered in that report. With the late harvest finally underway, the next several weeks will give a better idea of the effect of higher prices on demand. With higher price levels along with the strong U.S. dollar, we'll be watching for signs of weakening demand. With a slightly larger crop, U.S. ending stocks are projected to be 3.4 million bales for the 2021 marketing year and a marketing year average price of 90 cents per pound. Current trading conditions, including a low U.S. stock level and a large volume of on-call purchases, continue to support higher futures prices. Recent prices are at their highest level since 2011. Mills are in need of shipment over the next few months, so demand is strong and supplies are tighter. Improved economic conditions, along with the relaxing of public health measures in some markets, has increased cotton demand.
This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, November 5th. 2,660 head were sold. 5 head of steers at 403 brought 176. 22 at 519 brought 166. 14 at 588 brought 165. 7 at 618 brought 137. 15 at 680 brought 137. 14 at 724 brought 145.50. 19 head of heifers at 343 brought 164. 19 at 509 brought 148. 3 at 555 brought 135. 8 at 590 brought 143.50. 4 at 620 brought 127.50. 11 at 675 brought 120. Butcher cows were 10 to 71.50, bred cows 350 to 1385, butcher bulls were 50 to 95.50, pairs brought 1050 to 1700. Elk City Livestock Auction, South Highway 6 in Elk City, Oklahoma, sale every Friday at 9 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
Are there any beef eaters out there? Well, sink your teeth into this. The Elk City Rotary Club's giving you a chance to win a side of beef and a freezer to keep it in with the beef sweepstakes. Get one ticket for $25 or five tickets for just $100. Go by First National Bank and Trust of Elk City to get your tickets. Grand prize is a side of beef and a freezer. Second and third prizes are a quarter beef each. Winners chosen December 11th at 8 p.m. at Elk City's Christmas in the Park in Ackley Park. Beef up your Christmas and help some great local projects with the Elk City Rotary Club's Beef Sweepstakes.
Beef, it's what's for dinner.
It's known as the thief in the night. A lack of cattle mineral can lead to decreased weaning weights, small, weak calves, and severely compromised health. Don't let a gap in your feeding program rob your herd's performance. Stop by Farmers Union Co-op in Elk City and pick up a bag of Purina Wind and Rain Storm Mineral today. Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City is your authorized Purina dealer.
Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Hey, welcome back, and thank you again, Mr. Jake Dameron, for coming on the show and taking my call while you're out there stripping cotton. And man, it's there's a lot of good cotton around. Just amazing. Today's live cash prices on grains, hard red winter wheat is $8.03 above the $8 mark. Corn's $5.72, Milo's $5.75, soybeans $11.79. So all the grains come up. Cotton's at $1.17, and there's your deal. Wheat futures were modestly lower in overnight trading as investors who drove prices to near 9-year highs stepped back, but looked like they stepped back up today, according to the cash prices at 11 o'clock. Prices in Chicago this week rose to the highest level since 2012 amid increased export taxes in Russia, which may lead global importers to sink U.S. supplies. Russia also may impose further export restrictions in the first half of 2022. Investors who were long the market or had bet on higher prices may be liquidating their positions and booking profits after the run-up in prices. Fundamentally, nothing has changed. Global wheat stockpiles are pegged by the USDA at 275.8 million metric tons in the year that ends on May 31st. That's down from 288 million metric tons a year earlier. In the U.S., output is seen somewhere between 1.65 billion bushels, down from 1.83 billion bushels last year. Domestic inventories on May 31st were at 583 million. That was close to a little bit better or less than last year. Corn futures also were lower in overnight trading ahead of the soybeans, which was little change. Wheat futures for December delivery fell 2 cents to 810.5 a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade, while Kansas City futures dropped 3.25 to $8.24.75 a bushel. Corn futures for December delivery were down 2 cents at 567.5 a bushel. Soybean futures for November delivery were unchanged at 1221.5 a bushel. Soy meal gained $1 to $3.45.50 a short ton, while soy oil lost 0.29 cents to 58.85 cents a pound. Rising input prices for agriculture producers globally will lead to higher food prices worldwide, according to the Food and Agriculture Organization, said in this report yesterday. Wheat prices likely will rise as worldwide production is expected to decline this year, while the use is forecast to rise. Coarse grain production is projected to rise 1.5 cents in 2021, but consumption is pegged to grow by 1.6%. Global inventories after 3 seasons of decline likely will stay put this year, according to the organization. The FAO sees some improvements in world oil crop supply, though it's warned that ending stocks might remain below normal levels. Meat production is expected to rise 4.2% year over year, but the FAO meat price index rose for 10 straight months through October in solid demand that often outpaced the supply. Well, we're going to take a short break. When we get back, I'm going to give you the Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast and a few things that's going to be happening tomorrow and Monday that I want you guys to know about. And I got a text in from one of our fellow farmers in Beckham County, giving me some info on some fertilizer increase yesterday, and he sent me some numbers, and I want you guys that are non-farmers or even some of the farmers that hadn't heard about it to know what these guys are going through right now. So it's the Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
This is Jerry Nine, owner of the Woodward Livestock Auction. First, last Tuesday, November the 9th, we sold 1,050 cows, bulls, and calves. Thursday, November the 11th, we sold 4,823 calves and feeders for a total of 5,873 cows for the week. Tuesday, better killing cows bring 68 to 78, thin cows bring 41 to 60, 50, with the bulls bringing 67.5 to 88. 2 to 4 year old bred cows, 835 to 1250, with their 5 to 8 year old bred cows, 880 to 1285, 9 and older bred cows, 700 to 935. 2 to 8 year old pairs, $1,300 to $1,650. Otter steer cattle, 3 to 350 weight steers, 198 to 221. 4 to 450, 183 to 210. 5 to 550 wing steers, 167 to 190. 6 to 650 wing, 147 to 160, and off the cow, 149 to 154. 7 to 750 steers, 142 to 162. 8 to 850, 152 to 163.50. 9 to 950 steers, 150 to 155.50. We sold 3 loads of black steers, 1 bunch weighing 878, bring 163.60. Otter heifers, 3 to 350 weight heifers, 165 to 172. 4 to 450, 141 to 170. 5 to 550, 149.5 to 158. 6 to 650, 140 to 149. 7 to 750 heifers, 135 to 152, with their 8 to 850 heifers, 146 to 151. 16 heifers weighing 916, bring 122. Very aggressive market with 14 feeder buyers there every week, plus farmers and ranchers buying two, makes a very aggressive market. Again, we sell 3 loads of black steers weighing 878, bring 163.60. But this Tuesday, November 16th, we will have 40 bred cows and pairs. We've got another 35 bred cows, 5 to 7 years old. Give us a call. Thanksgiving, Jerry 9 and the Woodward Livestock Auction.
Hi, I'm James with Western Equipment. Listen up, any high school junior and senior, and any parent or grandparent of any high school junior or senior. By your junior and senior year, it's time to start planning for a job. Right now, if you don't know what you want to do, check out the John Deere AgTech program through Western Equipment. It's a 2-year program, and afterwards, we guarantee you a solid job at one of our 21 locations in Texas, Oklahoma, or New Mexico. Now is the time. Visit west-equip.com/careers for more information to apply.
This hour's weather is brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden.
Complete nutrition for every animal. That's what you'll find at High Pro Feeds. At High Pro, their commitment to nutrition is unwavering. Buy the best and get the most out of every animal. Hobart Farm and Garden in Hobart, Oklahoma is your local High Pro Feeds dealer, providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, and sacks. Check them out on Facebook and online at HobartFarmAndGarden.com.
Today in Ag is back with Jimmy Clark.
I'm back. Man, had 2 guests on today. Makes the show short, but that's good because these guys have been getting ready for this football game tonight and been opening the door and hauling equipment in and out, and my allergies are kicking in. So, just in time. We got 59 degrees, dew points 10 to 10, humidity's 14, winds northwest at 23, gusting up to 33. Today's high is 59, and we're there, so it might get a little warmer. Tomorrow, we got a freeze warning for tonight, all the way through 9 a.m. in the morning. 31 for a low here in Elk City, and down along any area along the North Fork of the Red River, I'm going to say we're going to get in the higher 20s. Tomorrow, high 68, south winds. Sunday, 65. Monday, 72. Tuesday, 75. I hear rumors of 80s later on next week. So here we go again. So crazy Oklahoma weather, 80 degrees. Next Saturday, a week from tomorrow, opening day of rifle season for deer. But tomorrow is the big day. Opening day of quail season for state Oklahoma. It's been going on in Kansas for a week right now. And there's some good spots in Oklahoma for quail. There's some not so good spots. But with everybody's help, in the near future, we're going to get the quail back to where we can hunt them pretty regularly if everybody will help out with habitat and shoot only males when the covey gets up. It helps. Semi-automatic shotguns kill more quail and injure more quail than over and unders. So sell your semi-automatic shotguns, Russ Rundle, and get you an over and under. That way you can only shoot 2 shots at a time, not 4 to 5. He's actually a pretty good shot. I've watched him and I hunt some together. He's pretty good with that little 20-gauge semi-automatic he's got. Here we go. I got a deal in. So yesterday, 32% fertilizer, liquid fertilizer, went up to $610 delivered. That's buying a semi-load at a time. That's up $25 from yesterday. Went up today. It's up $25 from yesterday. So he gave me a scenario. Last year, the top dress was 12 gallons per acre for $13.45 an acre. That's what it costs, $13.45 an acre. Now 12 gallons per acre is $41.23. That's a difference of $27.78 per acre. So you do that 2.5 times on 1,000 acres, and that's a $69.45 increase per acre in 1 year, or $69,450. That's on 1,000 acres. So there goes a lot of your profit, or as he says, it might put you in the hole. So that's how much increase has been in the fertilizer. Everything else has gone up too. Equipment prices, seed, whole nine yards. It's crazy the inflation we got. Look at fuel. I think checked the other day, red diesel was somewhere around $2.80, $2.85 a gallon. And just last year, you could get it for a little over a buck, $1.50, somewhere in that range. So everything's doubled or more in what you're doing. You can see your increases in prices at the grocery store, not only with beef, but everything. Everything's in cost has gone up. Trucking, transportation has gone up. Ships going back and forth overseas, shipping our grain that goes to Louisiana to be shipped out down there at the Gulf. Man, it's just crazy. Well, before I run out of time, tomorrow at Hobart, at the Hobart Stockyards, there's a special replacement sale going on at 11 a.m. And they'll have cows, heifers, not sure if they'll have any breeding bulls down there or not, but it's a replacement sale. Last year, I went to it last year, and they had some great heifers. Second calf heifers going through there are 3-year-old first, second calf cows, is my buddies down here at Hutch's want me to call it. But they had some really good cattle in that sale, and it looks like they got another pretty good line out. So tomorrow, Saturday, at 11 a.m. at the Hobart Stockyards, if you need some replacement cattle or heifers, go down there and grab you something. Monday, the labor auction, November 15th at 6:30 at the cafeteria. There's a meal, the whole nine yards, at Merit FFA. Future Farmers of America. Go out and support them guys at the labor and ladies. I didn't mean to say that. Guys and ladies at the labor auction at Merit. Coming up Monday at 6:30 at the meal at the cafeteria. Tomorrow at Clinton, the Oklahoma Independent Stock Growers Association will be having their fourth annual convention and trade show. They have speakers, Margaret Byfield, talking about the Biden's 30 by 30. Steve Stratford, Cattle Chat. Representative Justin Humphrey will be there. Roger Givens will be there talking about the Livestock Risk Protection Program. And it's all tomorrow at 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. at the Frisco Center in Clinton. It's $75. Registration is $75, and that includes the meals. For more information, call Joshua at 580-302-3039. So anyway, that's what's going on this weekend. I know I'm missing something, but I want everybody to have a great weekend. Be careful out there. Continuing harvesting your peanuts. They said peanuts are about 95% done. Cotton's a little over halfway. So progress will be made with this weather we're having right now. So everybody have a great weekend. God bless. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.